Next week, by the way, is going to be Samuel. How many know the Lord spoke to Samuel? Okay. And it's going to be called, Does It Profit Us to Hear from God? Does it profit us to hear from God? Today is Jacob. I've always liked Jacob because he was the younger twin. A troublemaker, redeemed by the grace of God. That's the mirror of my soul. I'll tell you that. Actually, I was pretty nice to my sister, I think. We had a few moments. And then I looked at her and said, you know, I like her face, so I guess I'll be nice to her. Just kidding. No, I actually, one time when I had contacts, she looked at me and said, I don't like them. And I said, how can you not like them? It's your face. She goes, okay. Oh, I get to bother her. And she can't do a thing about it. How many have ever watched wrestling? We grew up watching AWA wrestling in our house. And it was hilarious. They should have had awards. Really. I mean, they were hilarious, especially the interviews. Oh, they were funny. Absolutely funny. Let me see if our guy is coming in. Is he ready? Okay, Dave is gonna start. Okay. And in this corner, bearing the weight of his past, is Jacob the heel grabber. Okay. He's the real heel. Get in the mat with him. Okay. And then, in the other corner, oh wait, he doesn't fit into the corner. He doesn't even fit into the room. He doesn't even fit in the building. The opponent doesn't even fit in the universe. He has no weight upon him. And yet he fills all things. Can you imagine that opponent? He is the real heel, H-E-A-L. When you get in the ring with Jesus Christ, God heals, he restores, he confirms his call, he does the work that only he can do. You ready to find out today what God's work and will is in your life? You ever felt like you're fighting God? Probably are. Genesis 32, 24 to 32. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name no longer will be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. And Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. And that may seem like a weird thing to add into the story at the end of it here, but God wants to remind us that this was a physical occurrence. This was an actual event. This was not a spiritual fight. Now, we all have spiritual fights, don't we? Because our fight is in the spirituals, the book of Ephesians says. But this was a literal wrestling match with God Almighty. I want to give you some background a little bit, why this is important. First of all, Jacob had the weight of his past upon him. You remember the basic story of him. His parents did something called favoritism. How does that go? When it's obvious that one parent favors another of their children. Probably not a great idea. Certainly in this story, it makes for real hardship and hard attitudes. So Esau comes in from the field one day and he's famished and he's very dramatic and says, "Oh, I'm dying. Give me your stuff, give me your food. And then I'll give you my birthright." Now, how much did his birthright matter to him? Apparently not. The appetites of this world, I think I've preached on this before, if my memory serves me correct, the appetites of this world can make us throw away our birthright, the important values of our life. Never let that happen. Because as hungry as Esau was, he was not going to die. He just had to come in from the field and take care of his need. But he was very dramatic here. And so when he sold his birthright to Jacob, then he despised his birthright. Do you remember what happened with Hagar when she got pregnant and she despised Sarah? There are threads through all of these stories. There are despisings, there are anger, there's the way we're treated. And again, this is another issue of family beginnings that get a hold of our life, get a hold of our mind, and God has to deal with them in our personal walk with him. You know, have you ever seen some of these people that take the chain and it's attached to a vehicle, like a semi, and they pull it forward and they show how strong they are? Well, they're strong and they can do that. But if you're carrying the last 50, 60 years with you, I got news for you, I don't care how strong you are. You're not gonna make much forward motion because it's hanging on. God wants it to be gone. God wants to replace it with something. And so what happens here is like Abram and Moses, it's a family situation that ends up propelling him into a moment with God in the flesh. Then there's another situation when his mother, Rebekah, stewed an idea so that Jacob would get the blessing instead of the elder who was Esau. And this will come back in the story. So Jacob leaves and he goes and he meets Laban. How many remember the story? And Laban was a bigger cheat than Jacob was. Do you know what happens in life? Tell me if I'm wrong, because I know I'm not. But if there's something in our life of sin, of difficulty, of attitude, you're going to meet a lot of people like you, and you're going to not like them at all. And they're going to be a mirror to your soul. And if you keep meeting them, you might want to start thinking, maybe God needs to deal with something in me, because maybe I have that particular attitude. Maybe I'm just like that. It would be a good thing to check out. Laban was a bigger cheat. And then, in the 11th verse, in the 32nd chapter, God shows up. Don't you love the fact that God shows up? I'm so glad he does. He shows up, and he speaks to him, and he tells him, "I want you to go back. Go back and deal with your brother." "Oh, excuse me, Lord, I'm already well on my way in life." God says, "No, you go back and deal with your brother." So what he does is he gets all the animals and all the different goods and he sends them ahead so that basically, he's buffering it so that when he meets Esau, he's already given him some animals and some product and different things and produce of his life. But how many know you can't buy forgiveness? How many know you can't buy salvation? Okay? I mean, he's doing it to try to say, this is my goodwill. But there has to be something else that happens first. And then he finds out that Esau is coming with 400 men. There's a reunion for you. How'd you like it when they told you we're coming for picnic and we're bringing 600 people and you get to feed them all? I mean, you'd be startled. Jacob was absolutely terrified because he had to meet this brother that he had offended, that he had stolen his blessing, he had taken his birthright. And he had to face him. And this man, whose name meant heel grabber, because he grabbed the heel of Esau in the womb, he was trying to get the better place, I suppose. I don't know. I think Jan just took her hand and brought me in. I don't think I grabbed, but who knows? I like to think so. The weight of the past will bear you down. It will afflict your soul. It will get in the way of your relationship to Christ. And God in his mercy, very often in our life, makes us face it. But it's not easy, is it? So what's the weight of the fight here in the portion of the scripture? Bible says something very interesting to begin with. Jacob was left alone. Left alone. Now, what happens when you're left alone and you're in terror? The terror multiplies, doesn't it? Because you're on your own, or so you think. The word left in the Hebrew, yathar, means to remain over, to be left alone, and it's the same root as the name Jethro that we studied last week. God will orchestrate a moment when we have to face the past in the present so we can go to the future. Because we never truly can go forward unless the past is cut and the pain is gone. So the Bible says he's alone. And then remember this Hebrew word. It's a great word and it actually fits it perfectly. It is the word bad. When you feel alone, you feel bad, right? How many people feel bad when you're alone? Or at least you can be in a group of people and feel alone, by the way. How many know that? Means separation, apart, alone. It comes from the word badad, which means isolated. God sometimes isolates us to get our attention, to deal with something, whatever it might be. And he is alone. Not quite like that movie, Left Alone, you know, but Jacob is on his own. He can't hide behind his brother. He can't hide behind other people. And so the Bible says he wrestled with a man. He wrestled. The Hebrew word abach means to wrestle, to get dusty and to grapple. It's kind of like wrestling down in the dirt and in the mud. Doesn't feel good, does it? You get dirty. You get messy. How many know that sometime God has to undo before he does? Sometime he has to hurt before he can help. But it's all in his hands. Always stay in his hands. And I can guarantee you the outcome will be what it's supposed to be. Bible says he is wrestling here with a man. The Hebrew enosh means man and mankind. And it's not the more refined word that Adam was originally. Of course, he was named in the original creation. So this is talking about God's dealing with us as humans in a fallen state, in a fallen world. And he knows it, of course. How many are glad that God knows what he's dealing with? Yeah, that's right. And so he has to deal with us out of the lower man, the fallen man, knowing that he's going to do what? Raise us up. An enemy in this world will try to tear you down. God as an adversary in this case. He's not really an adversary, but he is the wrestler. His ultimate purpose is to lift up. If you feel defeated, if you feel condemned, if you feel bared down, that's not God talking to you, okay? Because God will ultimately lift up, even when he tells you the truth. If he tells you you're lying, you're doing this or what, you can know it's for redemption, to redeem your mind and your soul, right? His purpose is always positive, to lift us up, never to tear us down. And he said he wrestled with him till the breaking of the day. The word breaking is Allah, and it means to go up, ascend, and climb. And the day, of course, is Shakar, which means the dawn and the daybreak. They were going to wrestle basically through the night. Isn't it scarier to do stuff at night? You can't see what hit you. But let me remind you of something else. This means God is with you in the night. And I have a picture sometime of God, like if he was in a wrestling match and he's holding his hand out here while I'm just fighting the air, you know, and I'm fighting and I'm fighting, but God's just saying, okay, get the steam out and then we'll talk. He's so gracious, isn't he? Here's the other wonderful thing about this, and that is this. When you get through your battle with God, if the Lord is dealing with you, his purpose is to bring you into a new day, give you a new day, give you a new life, bring you into light. That's his purpose. It's not to keep you in the dark. It's to bring us into the light. And so, very interesting portion of scripture here. The man could not prevail against Jacob. You find that interesting? I do. He could not overpower him. Now, can God overpower anybody? So God chooses not to, is what it boils down to here. But the other thing is, this word yakal means to be able to have power and prevail and endure. Why wouldn't God, who is this man in the flesh, why couldn't he prevail against Jacob? Because God was trying to get Jacob's will, and God won't take it from you. You have to give it to him. Remember what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but thine be done. I mentioned this the other, I think, Wednesday night. We say, Lord, take this away from me. It's a horrible thing. And God wants to. But you know what? He wants us to give it to him. He doesn't want us to take it from you. He wants us to yield it. That's what he's looking for here. The will of Jacob is very powerful. He was a deceiver by nature. That's how he lived his life. He ended up in trouble because of it many times. You've heard the story. He went to bed with Rachel and woke up with Leah because he was trying to get his way, and his father-in-law was worse than he was. God can't win against our will because that's where the fight is. If we don't give up our will, we'll continue to fight God. So in the 25th verse, this man, the theophany, touches Jacob. Now, he didn't smack him, did he? Doesn't say he put him in a headlock. Doesn't say he gave him the sleeper hold, if any of you know what that was. Yeah. And just to let you know, a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 or so weeks ago, Jerry was telling me that he prayed with a couple ladies at the nursing home, one of who was Vern Gagne's mother, for salvation. So isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Anyway, that's a side thought, but he touches him. Where? Well, first of all, he touched him. The Hebrew word naga means to touch, to reach, and to strike. God breaks us to build us, okay? God frustrates to free us. And he touched him in the socket of his thigh. The word socket is kaf, and it means the hollow or the flat of your hand, the palm, the sole, and it means the thigh joint. And an interesting word from its original word, kafa, it means to bend over, to bend, and to bow down, that kind of posture. And it also means to grab it. So God's trying to grab something into Jacob here. again, his will and his determination. It's very interesting. The word thigh, yarek, is a thigh or the loin. It's the outside of the thigh, where the sword is held. Keep that image in your mind, because this is where the Lord is coming to Jacob and saying, I'm going to touch you right where the authority is, where the sword is, where the fight is, and I've got to put you in my hand to do it. How many fight with God often? You don't have to raise your hand. Well, I always tell the Lord, well, Lord, at least there's a little fight in me. But there's a moment where we really need to let God have his way. And that's what's happening here. I was reading a little bit about some of the wrestling moves, particularly in the high school and that kind of thing, one of which is an ankle pick. And I thought about that, and I thought, it sounds a lot like the heel grabber to me. You know, just grab them at the ankles, get them down by the heel, and just knock them senseless. Get them off balance. That's what Jacob's nature was. He was going to get what he wanted, no matter what, and he did any maneuver to get it accomplished. But how many know, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, there is a code to live by, and it's the code of Jesus Christ. You don't have to grab for yourself when God will give it to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. I'm grateful that I don't have to go out and snatch and grab. I'll just put my hand up to Christ and say, give me what you want me to have. I can guarantee you it takes less effort and there's not as much trouble in it. The weight of this fight is phenomenal. And then there's a wait for victory, which is W-A-I-T. Some of this battle is just simply waiting and saying, God, what do you want to say to me? What in my past has been grabbing a hold of me and keeping me down? Why is it everybody I see drives me nuts, but I don't have a problem? He has to realize that the man is not an ordinary man. He's not an angel. But he does realize that he's God, because he says, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Now, I find this interesting from a man who stole the blessing of another. I want a blessing from you, but I can't deal with the fact that I stole it from my brother. Did you know something? The Lord is not going to let you go back to deal with something unless you've dealt with God first. Because if we don't deal with God first, we're not going to have the power and the presence of mind and the victory to be able to do so. This is really the mercy of God for Jacob. And so he says, please bless me. I'm not letting you go. I'm just going to hang on. He probably grabbed him by the ankle. Said, I'm hanging on. How long do we hang on for God? How many of you remember all-night prayer meetings? See, we come to prayer and we pray for a while and we mean it and we're very sincere. But when you really need an answer from God, you throw yourself on the floor in prayer and you say, God, I'm waiting until I get an answer. I mean it. I need an answer. That's what he's doing here. What we all need is the blessing of God. And that word, of course, Barak, means to kneel, to bless. Only God can bless, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Only God can truly bless. Another indication of theophany. So, then what does God do? I love this. God changes his name. You know how many times in the Bible God changes people's name? Why does he do it? To show the change that's inside and to give him a future. He's saying, Jacob, you used to be a heel grabber. You're a deceiver. I mean, your family, you just treated them like that. Now, I'm going to put you in a place and a position in not only for today, but throughout the descendant line of my life. And I'm going to put you in a prominent spot. And guess what? You don't deserve it. But I'm going to do it because you fought with God and you prevailed. So Theophany asks his name and he says, Jacob. It's amazing sometimes if you could see a picture of when God talks to us, he says, well, who are you? And we spiff ourselves up and, you know, bring out the resume and go, well, see, I prayed for people. I witnessed. I did this. I can memorize. I know the whole New Testament. I got all this together. God says, no, no. Who are you? Oh, I'm a heel grabber. I can guarantee you I know exactly who I am. I know God's redeemed me, but I know who I was. And I'm glad I do, because I have no thought at all that any of this is because of me. It's because of Jesus. He says, who are you, Jacob? We have to come face to face with who we are before we can fully understand who he is. And that's not a negative thing, by the way. Because when you realize, I'm a heel grabber, and he grabbed me, and he touched me, and he healed me. Are you kidding? It's wonderful. He becomes Israel, the prince of God. Now, he didn't feel like the prince as God touched him in the socket of the thigh, and he's limping around. But guess what? Your power is not dependent on your body. It's dependent on your God. Okay? It's not dependent on your intellect. It's not dependent upon your station in life or your finances. It's dependent totally upon your God. And God blesses him. He says, you have struggled with God and man. The word struggled, Sarah, spelt like Sarah, means to persist, to exert oneself and persevere. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. If you look in the mirror of that truth, which is this Bible, I mean, your day is going to start off a whole lot better than the other mirror we look into. He struggled. He fought. And then Jacob asks his name, but God doesn't have to answer a thing, does he? He doesn't have to say anything. It's only his mercy that he reveals himself at all. But he does reveal himself by the blessing that only God can give. And Jacob knows it's God. He knows it. Why? He builds an altar. That's another thing that is done with Theophany very often. An altar is erected to recognize what's occurred here, who has revealed himself, and what is happening. And he calls the place Peniel, the face of God. In wrestling, there's face-to-face contact, yes? Wouldn't that make sense that he saw God face-to-face? Of course, most of it was at night. Maybe if he had a sketch artist, he wouldn't remember it all. But he knew enough that he was grappling with eternity. And the great thing about the wrestling match is that Jacob came out with a new name, a new identity, a new purpose in life. And now as he goes to face his brother, he's a new man. He's a new person. Number one, he's going to go back in sorrow for what he's done. I mean, that has to be a content. But he's also going to go back not feeling like he's got to fight for who he is, because God's already named him. Do you know there's a lot of people, some in the pulpit, some out of the pulpit, in different waves of life that are always trying to prove who they are? You know, I see this on a lot of headers for different ministries and stuff. Prophet, priest, king, I don't know why you think you're the prophet. But at any rate, that's a very high. You know, to be a prophet, according to the Bible, you have to be 100% accurate, or you're not. You do that with holiness, I'm telling you. But when God gives you a name, it changes everything, doesn't it? It should. He says, why? Because I was spared. I saw the face of God. And I was spared by really reason, he should have been totally destroyed. No man can see God and live. Well, that means the Holy Father. That means God the Father. The Bible said in John 6 that no man has seen the Father, but you can see the Son. That's how we know this is theophany. That's how we know this is Jesus Christ. Because he was spared. And the word netzal means to strip, plunder, snatch away. None of those things happened to him. But prior to that, he plundered other people. And God restored him. Because he met God. In the daybreak, he starts limping to remind Israel and himself, I did not have a mental breakdown. I had a physical wrestling match with a living God. And I have proof. That's what happened to me. My question to you today, does God need to get a hold of part of your past? Maybe something happened in your family. Now remember, it's like Hagar. She wasn't responsible for what was done to her, but then she responded incorrectly and despised Sarah. Sometimes it's not what happens to us, it's how we respond to it. Sometimes it's what we've done. God needs to give us a discerning of what the deal is. But if you think the Lord has been speaking to you because you keep finding people that remind you of yourself, which will happen when God's trying to deal with you, and you have something in your history that really is an anchor to your soul, God wants to free you from it. I'm telling you, it doesn't glorify God, and it doesn't bless you. And it can also keep you from that will of God. The Lord wants to send you forward, not only spiritually, but in whatever he wants you to do. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. So if you're here today and you'd say, I thought I dealt with my past. I mean, I've asked the Lord to forgive me for the things I did, and I mean it. But maybe you haven't gone to somebody that you wounded. Of course, if they're passed away, you can only talk to Christ. But if there's somebody you need to apologize to, I don't care if it's 50 years ago, and say, I'm a Christian. God's changed my life, and it's just occurred to me that I really treated you poorly, and I'm not going to make a defense for it. I'm just going to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I need that released from my soul. Or maybe something was done to you, and it has been a real center of what's in your heart, and maybe brings you to that aloneness, to that abandonment feeling, that you've been isolated and set to the side because you're not worth anything. See, that's not God talking to you. That's circumstance and the enemy trying to use it. Only in God's hands can God change those circumstances and take you forward into the blessing he has for you. He knew if he didn't send Jacob back, he would never be ready for what was in the future. If you're here today and you'd say, I don't even know maybe who the person is or what the situation was, but I do feel there's an anchor in my soul here. And I want, and I ask the Lord to help me. I want to wrestle through it. I want to get the victory over this in whatever way God wants. And I'm very serious about it. You raise your hand so I can pray for you. This is very, very important in your life. So if you have things done to you or things done against you or you've done, only God can tell you. Don't let them become a stumbling block for your life. That gives the devil the opportunity to do what he's always wanted to do, to keep you from seeing your new identity in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for these hands. And even for those that may not be sure, but I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that the heartbeat that you have for each one of us, Lord, would just beat and beat and beat. It's time to let that go It doesn't honor you. It doesn't solve a problem. It only creates more, and it puts a wall up to the great glory of God that you want to shed for each person in this room. Father, I pray that you would speak your perfect way to each one, reminding them, putting a face in their mind as to somebody they need to forgive or to be forgiven by, whatever the case might be. Make it very specific, Lord, I pray. And then remind us all that, oh God, we don't have to be terrified to go into our past, because the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so you go with us, and you'll help in every circumstance. Oh God, I thank you for your personal touch upon our life. You want us to have the new identity, Lord, that you died for. You don't want us to live in the past or be a product of what people think of us. You want us to be a product of what you think of us and what you died to redeem. Father, I pray your touch upon every life and make it meaningful, no matter what age and what understanding. Because, Lord, we can understand one thing. Our God will fight for us. And he will bring us into victory when we put it in his hands. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please stand for the last song. And if you want extra time at the altar, make sure you come up and make a stand for the Lord. Through Christ alone, we're never alone. Through Christ alone, we're never alone. Take this seriously with you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let him show you what he created you to be. And you'll never, never be sorry. I'm going to ask Dwayne to come up and close in prayer.
Father in heaven, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together to worship you and study your word together. Thank you for the lesson we've heard today about how Jesus has come in times of old. And I think of the verse in Hebrews 4:12 that says, "The word of God is alive and active." And Jesus was our word of God, and he's alive today, and he still speaks to us today. And as we think of in the sermon today about clearing up our past, how Jesus keeps pecking away at us until we do clear up our past. And we thank you that you help us. You keep working on us until we do clear that up. And we thank you for the freedom we have in our lives once we get our past cleared up and can walk in victory. Now we just pray that you'd go with us today, guide and bless, give us the grace to walk in the victory you give us and to glorify your name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.